Margaret, you had a chance to read and digest this article. I might start off in broad terms, if that's okay, mate, by asking, what are your initial thoughts and feedback, please, if you've got any?
Well, initially I thought it's just the same group of lobbyists, same groups of lobbyists having a whinge and trying to force the government into getting rid of more commercial fishermen, or getting rid of commercial fishermen out of more areas. That was the first first thoughts I had. They talked of under-regulated fishing, supposedly putting the reef at further risk, but they forget that some of us have been there a long time and we know what's gone on before. And the commercial sector has had extensive and seemingly never-ending changes to regulations since about 1995. And so that now, I mean, in the commercial net fishery, for example, which is now only a fifth of the licences that there were 20 years ago, that's an enormous drop in commercial fishing effort. And it goes towards explaining why many of the older population find it difficult to get a lot of their favourite species that they used to buy and enjoy for years, you know, in the past. And in that time, we've had huge areas of our best fishing grounds locked up away from our youth, and that's applying to commercial fisheries across the board, and whatever fishery people happen to be in, they've had enormous closures to their fishing grounds, and that's forced them to have to find other fishing grounds, and in a lot of cases they've not been quite as productive as the previous grounds were. We've had extensive gear modifications in that time as well. We now have vessel tracking and we've some heavy reporting and auditing requirements, and if we don't obey these rules, then we leave ourselves open to huge fines and potentially being put out of business, let alone not being able to, you know, provide food for the public. And
Margaret, sorry to interrupt. I guess I'm hearing what you're saying. Does the word disingenuous sort of spring to mind when you read articles like this? Because it's almost made out that it's still the Wild West frontier. Okay.
That's right. They talk about under-regulated, and we know that they're not referring to the recreational sector. And if there's, you know, part of the fishery that's under-regulated, if the government and these lobbyists are sincere about their concerns over fish stocks, they should be looking at that sector, because their catches are unmonitored, their fishing effort is not traced, their catches are not reported at all. They rely on bag limit to control their effort, but the numbers of recreational fishers has no cap. There's no cap on any of their effort apart from what they take home. And, you know, they can be out on the water killing fish after fish after fish with their catch and release method. And not everybody's an expert angler knowing how to release those fish, but they can be out there all day catching and releasing and killing fish, and none of those fish are counted. None of those fish are considered an impact of recreational fishing. It's only the bag limit that they take home.
That's an important distinction to make. And for the sake of those listening, I'll make available, because I've only just found out today, Margaret, that the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority has released its statement on fishing. And I have some concerns with that statement. I don't think industry has seen that statement yet, because apparently it was released in late August and I didn't know that it had been released. So I've got a few questions on that, and that'll be for another podcast if you're up to having the discussion. But it's out, and it makes these very similar statements that they're trying to target overfishing and illegal fishing. What, from us? Because the tone of the documents is always, it's a commercial fishing issue, and I've had a gutful, and I know those people that I represent have had are even more angry than I am, if that's even humanly possible, because we've gotten to a stage now that with the stupidity of our management, that the question has to be asked, and it was asked in a podcast, and it's part of this one where I was speaking to Alan Bobberman, our chair, that, and he made the point, he made the point quite strongly that do these people want a commercial industry? If I had to guess, and I'm talking about the radical rec groups, they would want us to be as small as is humanly possible, and they'd be happy to leave mm-hmm. us alone, but with them having the lion's share of the catch.
Yep.
And if we're talking about our dear friends in the conservation movement, they, if they could get their way, would have us out of there. Because how do you fight against the philosophy that fish are friends, not food? This is the state that we're in, and nobody wants to have this conversation out loud because of the inherent politics that go with the reef. We don't have those restrictions because we're not accountable to political parties, and we want the community to know what's going on. Part of the reason 70%+ of the fish that's imported into this country is imported is because we've lost area year on year, at least for the last 30 years, through lots of different pronouncements of government, marine parks, state marine mm-hmm. parks, national marine parks, and
yep.
closures that have been promoted by recreational. So again, for those listening, if you find that there are restrictions in your ability to get barramundi, for example, about 30%, almost a third of our barramundi catch is no longer available to the commercial sector for harvest and for sale and availability to the Queensland community, let alone the Australian community, because of a net free zone. That's for those listening that don't know the issues behind that, again, I'll make a link in the podcast available. It's basically us being shut out of an area. And that's the sense that I get in this article, that it's just a continuation of the same crap.
It is.
That's been put out there.
Yeah, and just on the barramundi, just for an example, the barramundi spawning closure that applied to both sectors seems to have been watered down in recent years, whereby the rec sector now can still go fish for them and catch them and get their obligatory bragging photos if they catch them in the area, where, you know, commercial fishermen are being locked out of those areas altogether. And so, you know, is it a spawning closure or is it not? We don't know. It only seems to be a spawning closure to commercial sector, you know. So it's a strange one. And with regard to the other lobbyists, the conservationists, they, for years and years now, we've seen the same campaigns recycled. And it gets a bit hard to take where, I mean, I've been hearing for probably 40 or 50 years that the reef is nearly dead, you know, that the reef is dying, that there's no fish going to be on the reef and all these things, all these panic things. And they keep trying to blame the commercial sector. And even still, I mean, in that article, it was claimed that the reforms have been needed 10 years, that they've been urgent for 10 years. And I'm thinking, well, what about all the changes that have gone on over the last 30 years? Have they had no impact positively at all, you know? And they keep claiming that these animals are threatened and endangered because of us. But at the same time, there's a fifth of the fishermen left working for the whole length of the East Coast, you know, so there's far, far less fishing effort. Those animals are still around in spite of much, much more fishing effort in the past, with far less flexible, with far less restrictions, and you know, they're still there.
Thanks for joining us again. I was speaking with Margaret Stevenson. Keep an eye out for more content in the lead up to the state election. Thanks, everyone, and I'll catch you all on the next podcast.